Right. Well, just looking over the course of this past week, out of the U.S. to start with, and obviously there's a lot of concern about what may happen with Ukraine and Russia and these sorts of things. Will that sort of dent activity at all? There's been a lot of speculation, even before the Fed even starts lifting rates, about whether they will kill off economic activity. Well, the data we got last week shows that there's huge momentum running through the U.S. at the moment, both for growth and for inflation still. On the growth side first, we had things like January retail sales. These were the first numbers to reflect, their beginnings of just starting to free up a bit after the Omicron wave. And the market thought that retail sales in January would have lifted by 1.8%. They lifted by 3.8%. And core retail sales, which were expected to lift by 0.8%, lifted 3.3%. So, a huge rebound in that very early stage of Omicron restriction just starting to fall away. It was there in things like industrial production for January and building permits. So industrial production for January was expected to be up 0.4%. It was up 1.4%. Home building permits were expected to fall by 7.2%. They were up 0.7%. That followed a 9.8% gain the month before. And existing home sales in January, which were expected to fall by 1%, lifted by 6.7%. So the economy's got a lot of momentum in there. Despite the stories of the world's falling in, nobody's really told the man in the street in the US who's got plenty of income still and is still fit to spend on almost any excuse. And it's there in the pressure and prices too. So we've not really seen the topping out yet in price pressure running towards the CPI. So going back down the pipeline to producer prices, we had January producer prices came out. The market thought that the quarter on quarter for both the headline producer price index and the core producer price index would be around 0.5%. The headline came in at 1%, so that's held the year-on-year for producer prices. It only came down slightly to 9.7% from 9.8%. The market was hoping to see that down to 9.1%. And, of course, if you keep getting 1%, you're annualising at 12%. So you really haven't seen a peak in this thing yet, which you're going to need to see to get base effects to pull back the CPI at some point in the future. And the core PPI, running at 0.8%. So that, rather than falling back below 8%, stayed above 8% at 8.3% year-on-year compared with 8.5%. So all of this is not only sustaining the US CPI well above 7% for the time being. If anything, there's a bit more acceleration in that to come over the next month or two. So that's where the pressure still comes back to the Fed. We had Fed minutes came out. And the Fed minutes, basically along the lines of getting to the point where we are going to lift interest rates, and there's going to be several of them. It was still ambiguous about whether they got a supersized one in the first stages. So the pressure points are there for come March when we get the FOMC meeting. Then that should be dialed in for a first interest rate hike. What the size of that interest rate hike in the US will be, still don't know. This week in the US, we've got a fair number of bits and pieces, including a bit of more price information. This is the price deflators that come out relating to consumption spending and those sorts of things, and they're running pretty high as well. They come out later in the week. We have revised Q4 GDP. The GDP was strong as an ox going back to Q4. In the US, it was 6.9% annualized. If anything, that might even get revised up slightly to 7. That should be a very, very strong read. There's nothing tonight because obviously they've got a public holiday in the US. It's President's Day. So it's not until Tuesday we get the US back on board again. But we've got things on Tuesday like the December Case-Shiller House Price Index. Still running over 1% a month, we think, and market's got that at 1.1%. So it holds the annual growth in house prices at 18.2% year-on-year, compared with 18.3% going back the month before. Late in the week, too, We get things like new home sales, we get personal income, personal consumption spending for January, and they're all looking pretty firm too. So personal consumption for January is expected to lift at least 1.5% after being down 0.6% going back the month before. So broadly speaking, you know, again, more data coming out this week, still indicating robust US economic activity, and with it, still a fair bit of price pressure running through as well. But of course, you know, you're going to get the ebbs and flows in you know, what happens with Ukraine. And for the time being, that's just reflected in very, very high energy prices. Yeah, it's holding the price of oil well and truly up above $90 a barrel. Yeah, the other problem of this, of course, is that that risk for gas prices in Europe, which will add even more to their price pressures that they've got over there. Out of China last week, we had their January CPI and producer price index. The CPI is holding down fairly well. It's because their economy was actually decelerating most of the way through the last year against the trend of other economies, which were accelerating quite powerfully. As I mentioned before, China may actually start to reverse that as they go through the course of this year. But the CPI lagging on that has actually come back to 0.9% year-on-year from 1.5% going back the month before. The producer price index has also come back a touch, but it's still pretty elevated. It's 9.1% year-on-year compared with 10.3% going back the month before. This week in China, we get a little bit of data. We get some house price information. Uniquely now around the world in the major housing markets, house prices are running pretty soft in China. You know, this is all to do with the problems with development companies. Going back a month before, house prices were only up 2.6% year-on-year. They're decelerating a bit further, we think, in January. We get the People's Bank of China comes out their latest meeting on Tuesday. Given how low the CPI was, there's a very good chance they're going to ease monetary policy. It's against the trend everywhere else. So it is at 3.85% their rate. Yeah, they could touch both the reserve ratio requirement and also interest rates, because China is working its way towards boosting domestic economic activity at the moment. In Australia last week, we had the RBA minutes, and this is patient RBA waiting for wages and full employment before, but recognising that there's a lot of uncertainties around the way in which inflation's travelling. Sort of not really sort of calming some concerns in the market. It's interesting, some of the bigger players are actually now bringing forward their first interest rate hike they expect to June rather than August. Giving a little bit of force to that. The labour force data that came out here last week was stronger than expected. So, this survey would have been taken in the first 2 weeks of January. That's when a lot of workers were laid off for COVID. They could have been sick with COVID or other bits and pieces. It's when the cases were really at their peak. And as a result of that, we would have thought that you should have had a pretty soft reading. Instead, employment actually rose rather than fell, rose by 12,900. The market thought it'd be down by 15,000. Participation rate went up to a new record high, 66.2% from 66.1%. And the unemployment rate was steady at 4.2%. This was the 1 month where there might have been an upward blip, and the unemployment rate didn't occur. And from here, it's likely that unemployment rate is going to clatter lower. And so that's where the pressure points are there for wages going forward. So that brings us to what's coming out this week. And it's an old bit of information. We're going to look back into the fourth quarter of 2021, even though we're almost through February in 2022, to the wage price index coming out first for Q4. The market consensus is 0.7 quarter on quarter on that, from 0.6 going back the quarter before. The year-on-year accelerates to 2.4% from 2.2% on that consensus. But a 0.7 is annualising at 2.8%. And that's where the year-on-year is going to get to at some point, at least, because we're not going to get any much lower than the 0.7s. We know we've got the pressure running through the labour market, and even if we get some help from international workers coming back, that's well down the track. And in the near term, we're going to get much higher wage price index beyond the Q4 one. So that's where this number, even though it's quite old, we're looking backwards to work out what the Reserve Bank might do in a few months' time. It's really, really important. It's if it's around 0.7, it's really borderline for the Reserve Bank holding the line for much longer. If it comes in at 0.8 or 0.9, that puts May or June right on the table for an interest rate hike. The Reserve Bank won't be able to read through much beyond that. We also have some more Q4 data later in the week. On Wednesday as well, we've got construction work done. That's expected to lift by 2.1% after falling 0.3% going back the quarter before. And private new capital expenditure for Q4 comes out on Thursday. That's expected to lift around 2.9% after falling 2.2% the quarter before. These are all contributions to the Q4 GDP read, which we will get coming out on the 2nd of March. So still got a little way to go before we see Q4 GDP. But it looks like it's a very strong Q4 GDP read because we've already had real retail sales, which lifted by a record 8.2% quarter on quarter. So, a lot of this data, it's old. This is, you used to think of central banks being proactive. In other words, when they forecast that things were going to happen, they would work off those forecasts to judge policy because there's always lags with policy. Now it's, we'll look at the data with a lag. That data's lagged to begin with. So that they're getting 8-9 months behind even the data when it comes to making a policy change, let alone the change, the lag you get before policy implements. So they've gone from being proactive to at least a year reactive. And that's going to be an issue when it comes to tackling the high inflation that we've got running at the moment. In terms of Europe, we had December industrial production came out stronger than expected. It was 1.2% month on month compared with 0.5%. We also had Q4 GDP revision of that. There really was no revision. It was 0.3%, 4.6% year on year. We had the December trade balance came out. Because domestic demand's running so strongly in Europe, even though Europe by nature is a big exporting unit, particularly Germany, such has been the strength of demand running in Europe that it's forced up imports. And so they're running unusual trade deficits, and they're getting bigger. So they've run to 4.6 billion euro trade deficit from 1.4 billion euro trade deficit. This is Europe putting its pressure into the supply chain with demand coming through. We also had the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey, just a slight pullback on that to 48.6 from 49.4. And this week in Europe we'll get some PMI data. It's still looking pretty good and pretty strong as far as Europe's concerned, as well as the Business and Consumer Survey, which is also holding up well, we think around 113 from 112.7. So, there's plenty of scare stories around at the moment, but look no further than what the data is actually showing, and that is one hell of a lot of momentum running through these places at the moment. And the laggard from last year, China, busily now trying to boost its economy to pick up. This speaks of still pretty strong growth and inflation pressure, which is certainly not going away. I should give it a mention too that in our part of the world, RBNZ meets this week. They'll probably be on to their third interest rate hike in this cycle. They've currently got their cash rate up there at 0.75, probably going towards 1% for the RBNZ when it comes out on Wednesday. It is a bit different in New Zealand to us. You think our house prices have gone up a lot. Our house price growth has been tiny compared with New Zealand. House prices there have been rising close to 35% year on year across the country. So just massive the increase in house prices there. And of course, their inflation rate, houses are 3.5, theirs is over 5. So yeah, there's a bit more pressure there in New Zealand. But it's the same sort of issues there, tightness in the labour market, which is causing these problems. And that's what we've got here.